Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hey, everybody. Dynamite Show. Paul Fontaine, Jeff Hawkins. A little late, but we're here. And for those watching live, I want to thank you for joining us. I see there's some people already watching. And for those on audio, well, we're not late. I don't think. Maybe we are. I don't know. But hopefully you're getting this at the time you normally do. Jeff, I had a night, I will say. It was my granddaughter's first birthday, so we had.
You're throwing parties. You're trying to watch wrestling.
Well, I tried to watch wrestling after the party, kind of during it. My wife's not thrilled with me, but I did stay till the cake, and I got some nice pictures, and I put them up on my Twitter of my granddaughter smashing her cake. But and then I'm I'm taking my notes as I always do, and I'm like transcribing every word that Wardlow says, and all of a sudden I get this blue screen, and it says, "We've encountered an error in your PC, and we're working to fix it. And we will restart your computer in 25, 20, 50. I'm like, what? And then it took like, I don't know, 20 minutes for my computer to get back up. And when it did, I had missed not too much of my notes. I got most of them. But I didn't transcribe. I had a beautiful transcript.
The blue screen of death is why your boy became a Mac guy. And I never thought I would.
But yeah, well. I did get I got most of it, and I got no notes on the main event, but I'll just do that from memory. And there was a couple promos in between as well, so we'll do all that. But before we get going on the show, we got some news that I think is actually pretty big news.
I did too.
You had mentioned this to me, and I didn't know who this person was. Was her name Jen Pepperman?
Yes.
Yeah. So Jen Pepperman left WWE and was signed by AEW. It was announced earlier today. They sent out a media release, which I didn't get. I get all their media releases. I didn't get this one.
Yeah, but she was on TV. She was at TV tonight.
Okay, and she was heavily involved with the women's division over in WWE, from what I understand. Yeah. Very close to
She was senior creative at WWE.
Okay, and. Was she in charge of the women's? Like, that's what I'm hearing.
I wouldn't say in charge. Heavily involved. I mean, okay. A lot of the good stories that came out of the women's division were her. I mean, it's a collaborative thing. She spearheads a lot of it.
I saw some people speculating that their women's stories haven't been as good the last couple weeks, and that's probably because she wasn't there. And I think those people are nuts.
I wouldn't go that far. But I mean, she had a lot to do with the Golden Role Models. If you want that, she had a lot to do with Damage Control.
Who's the Golden Role Models? Piper and Chelsea?
No, that's Bailey and Sasha on there during the pandemic.
Was that their name?
Yes.
Oh, I don't remember it.
Okay. Wow.
I mean, I remember them as a team.
Too busy studying ROH history to know.
WWE. No, I mean, I remember the team very well. I didn't know they had a name.
Yeah, number one, what you need to look at when this happens is not only did she wasn't just hired by AEW, she was poached by AEW.
I wasn't going to say that, but yeah. I mean,
why not? Because that's what it is.
Length of time between her leaving WWE and AEW signing her was about the length of time it took me to do this sentence.
Exactly.
Yeah,
and I don't think Tony Khan necessarily had her number in his Rolodex.
Okay, so
which means to me, she's a Mercedes whisperer, possibly. I know that there are people probably who have worked with her in WWE that have come to AEW. I have not met anybody, either in the backstage or, in talent in terms of. You know, the few people I know or talk to, et cetera, who have a bad thing to say about her.
No, same thing.
The people that I talked to in creative loved her. I mean, they did. They thought she.
Although
was...
I'm sure that's going to change now because
yes, I don't they'll think say yeah. She's any,
there's nobody in AEW that you could say is universally liked. You hear bad things about everybody.
Yeah. Here's where I'm gonna. I mean, I was arguing with Rich Krejci of the Voices of Wrestling flagship on under about this because he's one of these guys, and it's a perfectly valid viewpoint where it's just like, I just want wrestling on my good wrestling TV show. And you know, and then he kind of pulled an argument from my bag and goes, well, you know, back in the day, those guys didn't need writers, etc., etc. They didn't need any of this stuff. And I'm just like, and I was praising the move, and I'm just like, look, she knows real television. And I know that, well, I don't want real television.
Yes, I didn't mention 3-time Emmy Award winner.
Yeah, she's one of the people that they got from the soap opera world when soap opera writers kind of walked out for a while, I think.
Yeah.
I think that's what happened. But she knows directing. She's a member of the Directors Guild, or she was. She knows writing, and she knows acting. So I'm not saying...
And oh, Keith, she's a woman.
Yes.
Yeah. No, I mean, you can't underemphasize that.
I sort of do, but that's at my own peril. I get that.
Well, I think having a woman involved in writing women's storylines.
I think as a voice, it's great. But I'm always like I'm the person who thinks you should be able to write women if you're a man, and if you can't, that's your problem. I'm not saying it's a bad thing. I'm just judging it as I also don't want to short shrift her because she's a woman. I'm not setting a lower bar for her because she's a woman.
No, that's not what I'm saying at all. But
I know.
Okay, and you're right. Like, you should be able to write stories for women, and there are a lot of good writers that do. But I think you need a female voice in the room.
I do. Yeah. I mean, I wouldn't disagree.
You need that. You need that.
At least in terms of trust between the talent and management.
Yeah,
too.
Yeah. Because then they can go and say, well, I don't think a woman would actually do or say that.
Yeah, and all I'm saying for people who are going to get on my ass about me really liking this hire is that I don't want WWE in AEW. I don't want camp. I don't want melodrama. I don't necessarily want soap opera stuff in there. I'm saying give this a chance because she knows a lot of things and she could be a good resource. That's what I'm saying. She's a Swiss Army knife type in entertainment to me. If you know writing, directing and acting, you can, I mean, wrestlers are fine on their own, but hey, maybe I can figure out a way to stage this promo in a way that will make you look better type of a thing. That's what I'm trying to say. I'm saying she can be BASF. She can make your stuff better. And if there's anybody from AEW that happens to listen to this, I doubt they do, but if they do.
We know Tony listens.
Tear down anybody in the back who you know, that's the thing is also AEW tends to be kind of an art camp type thing where it's like, I know my creative. I'm good. You know, I have the freedom to do what I want to do. I don't want to hear from anybody. I didn't come here to get bossed around like the other. Just keep an open mind. That's all I'm saying here on this hire. I don't know if it's going to be great or not. I think it's definitely was somehow spearheaded by the signing of Mercedes Moné. And then Mercedes was probably the one that slipped the number to Tony. And Tony probably called her up and go, hey, can you quit and come over? Yeah, I probably won't get a non-compete because I'm a writer. They don't give non-competes to people in the back usually.
Are we going to get an angry tweet from Triple H in 6 months saying, he was going through all this stuff with his father-in-law, someone was out poaching my talent, and then it's so sad.
I don't think with people in the back helping that counts necessarily. I just don't. But I know like when she left, a bunch of WWE people threw out tweets thanking her, Adam Pearce especially, people who were mostly in speaking / angle type roles really appreciated the stuff that she brought to it. And I'm just saying, this is kind of what AEW needs. Something in terms of the non-wrestling aspects of a wrestling television show I'm hoping that creative freedom applies to her too. That's the thing I don't know if she's going to be a system quarterback or if she's going to be somebody with a lot of ideas in terms of television. That's kind of why I'm excited, because she's not just her only TV experience isn't just WWE. She knows soap operas and she knows just basic television production. So maybe she can be a great asset to this company. That's all I'm excited about here. But everybody was, I mean, wrestling fans were jumping down my throat because it's like, well, you know, maybe if they can't cut a promo, they're not a good wrestler. And I go, okay, great. So you're saying Kenny Omega's not a good wrestler? Like, no, I didn't say that.
Kazuchika Okada, so there's one other intangible benefit here. And I maybe it's not even intangible, but one of the things we've heard over the last, I don't know, 6 months to a year, whenever there was a prominent female that would be, you know, thought to be available, and you would say, okay, where should you go? And the prevailing discourse would be, oh, well, you shouldn't go to AEW because they don't really do women's storylines very well. They only have one women's match a show. It's not the place you want to go if you're a woman. Whereas WWE, the women are all over the show. They've got multiple storylines. They've got blah, 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 blah. Well, now you've got a key person that was involved with the women's storylines in WWE over in AEW. And that not just Mercedes, you know, there's going to be other people. There's going to be people in WWE right now whose contracts are going to come up. And now they might think, well, now AEW looks a little bit better, especially given whatever is going to happen in the next 6 months to a year. If things start to change. And we've already seen it. We're getting two matches a show. We had two women's matches tonight. We're going to have two on Saturday. We had two last week. So we're already seeing these changes.
I truly believe this is a two-way street here. I think this is something where if she comes in with an attitude of, I can help, I can do a lot here, I have a totally clean slate, let's see what kind of ideas I can bring in here versus, you know, hey, what did my old place used to do? And I can do that, blah, blah, blah. And then if AEW looks at her and goes, okay, look at all these things she can do that she's brought from her past. How can we use that properly?
Yes.
And it's one of those things where, and again, it's, you know, everybody puts these caveats if used properly. And I will do that here as well. I'm not saying this is a knockdown drag, but I think this is a great hire for them. I think this addresses a huge need for them. And I think that women's division needs all the help it can get.
Her official title, I believe, is Vice President in Charge of Creative Content.
Of content, yeah, I believe.
Yeah, yeah. So that's a pretty big title, I think. You know, I mean, they got a lot of VPs and EVPs, but this one sounds like she's right under Tony, I think.
Yeah, I think she's getting her own fiefdom. I think she's probably going to be given this women's division to do with what she pleases, and then she can evaluate and whatever. I you know,
with some input from, you know, probably the key women. With some input from
others, you know. Madison
Reigns, probably a voice in the room.
WWE main roster women's division, it's multifaceted in many ways. You have your comedy people, you have your tough people, you have your stars, you have your people that are coming up, you have your you have people who are under the radar who have become fan favorites because of some of the booking of the women and how they do it, like Liv Morgan. I mean,
Piper is getting there, Chelsea is getting there.
Chelsea Green is such a great, stooge in terms of I mean, she's there to get beat and be funny about it, and she's that's all you need sometimes. And look, you have Bianca, you have Rhea, you have Becky, you have I mean,
they're in fine
Jade
shape.
Was I'm looking good.
Not saying they don't need Bailey, her, but she left them in fine shape.
Yeah, she did.
Yeah, all right. So let's actually, there's another name that came up too. Well, I don't know. You know what? I'm not even going to talk about this one.
Throw it out there.
More about it.
I'll do it real quick.
Sheamus.
He's not gone yet.
No, but there's talk. Like, he sent out a tweet today that got people thinking that he was AEW bound. He tweeted out that he misses the days of five-star bangers. And then someone responded and said, well, I like storylines and reasons for my matches. And then he quote tweeted them and said, go watch a soap opera then. And that was that. And somehow that led people to believe he's going to AEW, which I actually think he might be. But
he might. He and Drew are still, you know, I mean.
Yeah. But he's also close with Claudio.
Yeah. I mean, that's a possibility, but look, cross those bridges when you get to them.
Exactly. And that's why I said I wasn't even going to bring it up.
Okay.
Yeah. So let's get to this show.
Let's.
Yeah. So this show didn't look like much on the surface. And Tony Kwan even sent, awesome. Yeah, he sent out a tweet like a couple hours before the show, and he almost apologized in advance for the quality. And he said they had a lot of challenges due to, you know, like injuries and people not being available and all this, but they're going to go 5 minutes over anyways. And they're going to have a great show and blah, 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 blah. So sometimes those shows are great. And man, we started off, and I remember last week when they announced this match, Dax and I wrote down Dax and Mox versus FTR, Claudio and Mox against FTR. And I remember being like upset because I was hoping it was going to be on the pay-per-view. And then we're getting here on Dynamite. So I was like, well, you know, whatever, we're going to have a great match. And damn, did they have a great match.
This match slapped so hard for me. Oh my God. It hit all my feels.
It started out the same as last week, but it escalated quickly. Remember last week I said they went like 13 minutes without doing anything but chops. And then like you were saying, it never just got out of gear. A lot of people liked that match last week, but this match
was so much better to
me. Oh yeah. And the crowd, I mean, they went back and forth between, you know, cheering for both teams. And
I'm giving Kevin Ely credit for this crowd tonight. I'm sure he was the one leading the way.
He was in the fourth row. Good
things. Yes.
Yeah. And man, they beat the crap out of each other. I've noted that like before the match even started, Claudio's chest was bruised. So I don't know if that was in anticipation of what was about to happen or what. Early on, Moxley and Cash, I don't know if they butted heads or something, and freaking Cash's head looked like Von Wagner had his forehead painted. Like it was like his head was like protruding and red. And I was like, oh my God. And they were just chopping the crap out of each other, and they were back and forth, and man, they did all their spots, and Moxley did like the best / worst babyface in peril, like just overacting, but it was beautiful. Like, you know, trying to get to the corner and finally makes the tag just as Cash does the best babyface comeback I've ever seen. It was just beautiful. They both did doomsday devices at one point. Crowd chanted, "This is awesome." Meanwhile, like this match is just getting going, and all of a sudden Justin Roberts is like, 15 minutes have elapsed, 5 minutes to go. And I'm like, no, I want 20 more minutes of this. I want 30. I tweeted out at this point, like, if they do a best of 99 series, like for the rest of the year, I'll be happy. But they just kept going, and they were at a fast pace this whole match. Like they never slowed down at all. 2 minutes remaining. Cash dove in, broke up something that Claudio or that Mox and Dax were doing. All four guys were down. Fans are chanting, "This is awesome." Keep in mind, they had just done a 2 minute break. Mox and Dax get back to their feet. They're trading blows. Dax puts on a sharpshooter. Claudio tried to break it up. Cash grabbed him. Claudio starts kicking Dax while he's holding on the sharpshooter, and Dax is no selling it. Justin does his 1 minute remaining. So Claudio grabs a sharpshooter on Cash. So him and Dax are like standing like right across from each other with sharpshooters on Moxley and Cash Wheeler. And they're like just staring at each other. They start slapping each other. And finally they all get up. Claudio hits a pile driver on Dax. Mox rolled him up. Dax kicked out. Mox put the choke on. Mox gives him a double bird. They go to do the shatter machine, FTR does, and then Dax starts to put on the sharpshooter, and the time runs out, and they just kept going, and it was like neither of them, I don't think they even heard the time counts. Like, you know, sometimes they time these things out perfectly. This was just beautiful. And then the bell rang and they just kept going.
I adored this match in so many ways. My favorite sequence, I don't remember it all. I mean, there are two that I really like. I liked the whole thing of with the chair in the corner by the barricade. That whole thing where it's like at one point Dax is beating on Dax is beating on Claudio, and then it reverses, and then Moxley's beating on Dax, and Cash comes over and breaks that up.
Yeah.
And then there was that other one on the outside where Moxley does something to Dax, and then Cash shoves Moxley into the stairs. Claudio comes out to chase Cash off. Cash jumps over the stairs and does like the Captain Morgan pose on the stairs, where he's just like has his hands on his hips and like 1 foot up. I howled at that. That was great. Yeah. And then the aftermath of this match was how a brawl should be, you know, just kind of sporadic. I mean, you know, they do the brawls way too much in terms of security coming out and being geeks and things like that. But this felt actually what it would be kind of like, where it's like tensions never calm down, but guys never necessarily break away from the security either, type of a thing. It's just one of those things where the tension is still there for a few minutes, as opposed to it being a spot where it's like, you know, Goldberg or Brock beat up 20 indie wrestlers with black shirts or something like that.
That wasn't this at all. Excalibur said the locker room emptied, and I mean, that's what it was. There was refs, there was wrestlers, there was indie guys, there was just a multitude of people, and I was trying to make out who they were, and the occasional
person. I know Butcher and Blade were part of it.
Butcher, he was the one that finally got it calmed down a little bit. He just decided at some point, okay, this enough of this.
I am tired of this crap. And everybody's like, you're the Butcher. I'm not doing it.
And then I saw Daniels out there, and he was trying to get them across. Yeah. But then they, you know, they broke him up for a bit, and then they started at it again. And they were like in the ring. They were outside the ring. They were jumping at each other.
This is like a street fight where the cops show up and say, all right, I'm going to walk away. And then they end up, you know,
it was a scene
jawing at each other.
A scene from Cops is what it was. It was just unreal. And so they just went nuts, and it was here I figured out, okay, yeah, they're gonna do a rematch at the pay-per-view. And and then of course, like right before they go to commercial, Excalibur says, after the break, we're gonna hear from FTR. And I was like, yes, that's awesome.
The future is a hefty responsibility, and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
But before we heard from FTR, we get Renee backstage with Orange Cassidy. And she's wearing a white sweater with a rose on it. You know, I always got to write down what she's wearing. And she went over his recent history. She talked about all the different friends of his that have been laid out recently. So now he's by himself. She brought up that he went to England on the weekend. I'm sure everyone's seen that picture of Tony Khan and his girlfriend and Orange Cassidy and who's the other? Darby. We're all at some football game.
The Fulham game, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And everyone but Tony looked like they wished they were anywhere else in the world. But Orange Cassidy also defended his title in Rev Pro, which they mentioned. And later on, they would show highlights of it. And she asked if he's medically cleared. And he's like, well, that's why I'm here. Doc's going to let me know whether I'm cleared or not. And Doc's like, well, I mean,
Doc cuts an Orange Cassidy, bro.
I thought he was going to say, whatever.
Like, yeah, so did I. That's what.
Yeah, I'm sure that's what he was scripted to say, and he just probably forgot.
I think that was the point of the promo. I think the point of the promo was Doc Samson saying things like Orange Cassidy was like, yeah, barely.
Yeah, and he's like, and then Orange is like, that's good enough for me. And he walks away, and then Renee's like, that's insane. How can he do this? And she was more concerned than Doc. Doc was just like, yeah, whatever. All right.
Yeah, this is because I guess Trent either has injuries or he couldn't make it. I don't know which.
Well, they said that he wasn't medically cleared. I don't know if that's storyline or truth. It could be either. After, I mean, I'm trying to think of. If they had like what he did last. Like, I know that Taven had that crazy match with Orange Cassidy last week, but what did Trent do? Like, I don't even remember.
Oh, he came out with the pipe.
He took the hit at the end of the match.
He took the hit. Yeah.
Yeah. So, okay. So that's fine.
I think it's a storyline, but that's me.
I think you're right. I think this is leading to Trent challenging for that title. And I actually think it may eventually lead to Okada challenging for the title.
You think Okada's going to be with Best Friends?
Yeah. I mean, he's already aligned with them.
Well, you know, we can always get away from the chaos stuff in AEW.
Well, they've already kind of used it.
Yeah, and, I know. It's never too late, though, once you've signed him to your company to actually use him properly, as opposed to being a geek with these geeks. What's wrong? What's distracted you right now?
Emily. My wife's like...
Do you need to go?
Okay. I will let you know.
Do I need to pick up notes somewhere?
Okay. You know what? What are we at here? So we did the so they showed highlights of the Undisputed Kingdom attacking Chuck and Rocky and laying out Orange Cassidy, and then highlights of last week. And they mentioned that Orange Cassidy was taking Trent's match because he's not medically cleared. Oh, you know what you can talk about is Scoops Marvez interviewing FTR and the brawl that followed. Can you do 90 seconds on that?
I think I can.
Okay, so I'm going to shut off my camera and go deal with what's going on upstairs. And you talk about old Scoops and the brawl that ensued backstage.
Yeah, so Alex Marvez is backstage, and it looks like even that FTR has started cutting the promo before even the camera comes on. And actually, for me, this is one of FTR's better promos that they've cut because of that. If you watch FTR promos, and this is a criticism that I've brought up on this show multiple times, FTR being possibly my favorite act in professional wrestling, they always start neutral, and then they have to get into their emotion to find the promo that they want to cut. Here, they're almost mid promo when Marvez goes to them, and of course, you know, they're angry. Yeah, you know, they decide to call out they call out the BCC for Revolution, because hey, we're not doing anything, you do anything? No. And then the BCC come out, and they're coming out being held back by security into the parking garage, and this all sets up the stage for setting the match for the pay-per-view. But also I was thinking the Cool Hand Ange promo for some, which is actually set in the same location, kind of. But yeah, Marvez is back there to set up the match for Revolution between Moxley and Claudio versus FTR. He said do 90 seconds, but I think that was probably a lie on both his part and my part, because this promo, you know, was basically a thing, and I don't have notes in front of me because he's the guy who writes the notes. So let's stall here a little, kids. Reading some of the chat. I get people's apprehension with the hire, because these are things reacting to it. You know, if we see, you know, crap angles like you see in NXT, then I don't want her in there. Look, I've already gone through all that. I don't want AEW to turn into WWE. I don't particularly care for WWE and their style. I never have. But we also live in a world where wrestling has evolved and people haven't learned how to talk. And that's a problem. It's why I called out Dave when he said, oh, Ricochets can't miss on the WWE roster. You know why? Because Ricochet doesn't know how to talk. And if he had somebody helping him, then maybe he could have done something. It sounds like Paul's back, so I think I've stalled long enough.
Oh, I forgot to mute my camera, didn't I?
Yeah, you did. Oh, but did that's you hear okay. No, all we heard was you coming back.
Okay.
I basically said that this interview set up FTR and BCC, and then I stalled.
All right. Well, yeah. So they're having a match at Revolution, and hopefully it's no time limit. At the very least, give them an hour. But it's honestly, it's probably the match I'm most looking forward to besides the main event. So, and that led into Orange Cassidy against an unadvertised match that I had no idea was happening until the show started. Mike Bennett. And they had a match that was fine. It was maybe even good. The key spots here was...
I wanted to hear about Mike Bennett's shirt, and then Mike Bennett ended up interrupting them talking about the new shirt on the AEW store to listen to Mike Bennett plug himself on commentary in not a very good way and then go back to the match.
Okay. Well, yeah, he started wrestling in his shirt, then he took it off, then they started talking about the shirt. The Undisputed Kingdom ran down and interfered. Roderick Strong took the ref. Orange Cassidy put his hands in his pockets to taunt. And then that allowed Mike Bennett to give him a dick punch, which Excalibur says that Taz calls the 5-on-2, which five knuckles, two balls.
That's funny.
Yeah, it was pretty cute. And
they have some pretty good Revolution gear, by the way, on AEW store right now.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, they have a good... I like that Darby Bucks match, or Bucks shirt that they have going on.
Darby and Bucks?
I mean, it's Darby and Sting versus the Bucks. It's kind of like kind of like a boxing poster. Yeah, it's kind of cool.
Oh, that sounds good, actually. This is where Bennett went to do commentary, and then he rolled Orange Cassidy back into the ring, but then Orange Cassidy dove on him when he went back because he had spent too much time, and he dove on him again. Bennett gave him a spinebuster into the apron and a Death Valley driver on the floor. That didn't do much because they went back in the ring. Orange Cassidy hit him with a orange punch. Mm-hmm. They were going back and forth over a beach breaker, a pile driver. Bennett finally hit the Gotch pile driver for two. Then he knocked him down with punches, went for the pile driver again, but Orange Cassidy hit the breach break out of nowhere and got the pin. And immediately after the match, the Undisputed Kingdom were there and they attacked Taven Strong. And who should make the save but Jake Hager?
Jake Hager.
Apparently him and Orange Cassidy are friends. He shows up. He's dressed in beach gear, sunglasses, and they're in Tulsa, Oklahoma. I don't think I mentioned that yet tonight.
Hometown so, pop, obviously.
Hometown, big time hometown pop. And yeah, he made the save and whatever, you know, it's whatever. Jake Hager and Orange Cassidy. I mean, it's wacky, but doesn't matter. It's pretty cool.
I didn't realize they made a shirt for Butcher and Matt Menard as that one time tag team.
No, they tagged for a while.
Magic Meat.
Magic Meat.
It's on the Butcher's clear.
Butcher's going to be in that meaty, whatever they call that, it, meaty mayhem or whatever.
Yeah, Meat Mayhem.
Yeah,
he should be.
He should be Lance Art. We'll talk about that later. But I got some names. Maybe they can even bring some people in. Hmm. Tomohiro Ishii, get him over.
Meaty. Well, yeah, he's stocky. I guess he kind of.
Yeah, he can do a meat match. That's for damn sure.
We'll talk about that in a second. Yeah, he made the save. Yes.
Laid
that
the
just seems weird to me, though. Is that just like a sudden? I mean, I guess now that the rest of 2.0 are faces, we had to turn Hager face somehow. So that's a way to do it. He's wearing sunglasses like he's giant Orange Cassidy. He might be like Grapefruit Cassidy or something.
They could be a hell of a team. Like they really could. Yeah, I don't know if they will be, but
no.
No, but
he's in great shape for a 40-year-old or however old he is.
Well, I mean, he's like 32 in wrestler years because he hadn't done anything for the last 10 years. And Tony Khan informed Excalibur that Jake Hager is facing Roderick Strong on Rampage, so I guess that's why he's there.
Okay,
so they're gonna beat him on Friday.
I'm trying to imagine that match. And all I can think of is probably Wardlow ends up interfering on behalf of Roddy or something.
Jake Hager's going to be in this meat mayhem too, I'm sure.
I think so, yeah.
That's probably why he's back. We go backstage to Remarkable Renee. She was real busy tonight. And she's with Cool Hand Ange. Tonight's the night. He's going on a date with Ruby.
You know what I can see though during this promo is I can see everybody going, that's the WWE chick doing this.
Who? Oh, yeah.
Peppermint. Except that was her contribution, wasn't it? I know, but nobody watches Rampage.
So that's true. And so they're going on a date tonight on Wednesday.
I'm working tonight. the one night of the week they work and they're going on a date.
They couldn't have booked Tuesday, Thursday. And then so she shows up. She's wearing a purple and black dress. I'm sure Taz was calling for copyright infringement, although he didn't mention it. I was kind of disappointed in that.
Why? Taz was orange and black.
Oh, yeah, you're right. What? No, this was orange and black. I just wrote it down wrong.
Purple and black?
I don't know why I said purple and black, but it was orange and black. She looked like freaking Betty Rubble. I thought
this was one of those things like the internet meme where it was like, is the dress yellow or blue?
She looked like a tattooed Betty Rubble. So Renee says, I'm going to leave it to you. You like that, eh?
Oh, yes, that was a 5-star line.
And she says, text me later with the details. And then Ruby says, I'll tell you about it on Friday. So she can't even text her on Thursday. They got to wait till Friday on Rampage. Well,
you know, they're going to be, you know, knocking boots or something on the that's a 2-night date. That's a hell of a first date, man. If it goes more than 24 hours, it's a good date.
So a car pulls up in the backstage area here, and then Ruby says, "Oh, is that for us?" And Angie's like, "No, I got us a lift."
Taz, lift! What a cheapskate! Yeah. I howled at that.
Well, what do you think he's making?
There's probably surge pricing going on if they were at the arena.
Probably, yeah.
It's probably more expensive than he thinks. So yeah.
So they take forever to show who's going to be getting out of this limo. I'm like, who's it going to be? Mercedes, Okada. Will Ospreay?
I thought it was the Bucks, and then I saw, you know, dress shoes and no socks, which is the status symbol of the douchebag.
Yeah, and it's Ric Flair. So yeah, you're right. It was a douchebag.
You know what? To that note, last Wednesday would make sense because it's Valentine's Day. They may have taped this last week and just not had time for it.
So they brought Ric Flair to wherever the hell they were last week, but they only aired it this week.
Knows. Yeah.
Well, I think the Bucks had the same facial hair they had last. No, they had the soul patch last week. This week they were back to the
clean shave, the
goatee.
Oh, goatee. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. So, this was live, or at least that part of it, anyways. They do Ric Flair, and then there's a mixed reaction from the crowd. Although I thought they were booing, but they might have been saying "woo." I'm not sure.
They're wooing, I think.
Okay, but
I didn't know it's saying like, booing on my TV. It sounded like cheers and wooing.
Okay, so it's probably I did write down that it might have been wooing, and I'm like, oh my god, they're gonna give him a live mic, and we didn't get that. But they go to break, they come back. And Renee stops him in the hallway. So over the whole commercial break, he's walked about 10 steps. And she tells him March 3rd is around the corner. And she asked him for thoughts on Sting's last match. And he's all somber. And he says, I'm going to be honest with you. I'm disappointed. I thought I'd be a bigger part of the picture. I'm not upset at Sting. Here I thought he was going to say he was upset at Tony Khan. But he says, no, I'm upset I'm not more involved. I should be right in the middle of everything. And I haven't been here. And between you and I, I'm exploring some options. And then he wanders to this room that's labeled like, I don't know what it was labeled, but it sure as hell wasn't Young Bucks locker room. And somehow he knew it was the Young Bucks locker room. And he knocks on the door and they answer and he says, we got to talk. And they're like, all right, come in.
You're not doing this justice because Ric Flair used to be the greatest, one of the greatest promos in professional wrestling.
Oh, I gave it way too much emotion. Yeah.
Oh yeah. This is and way too much diction as well.
Yeah. Translation. I'm going to be in Greensboro and I'm turning on Sting.
No. Because I think I know how this goes. Oh. He's going to pretend like he's going to turn on Sting, and then he's not going to turn on Sting. It's going to all be a ruse by Sting and Flair so he can get the pop in Greensboro, and I think he gets double super kicked for the heat.
That's possible, and maybe even probable, but I think it's more likely that he turns on Sting, but it backfires.
In Greensboro, you think they're going to let Flair be the heel? I mean, I get it. I get the thought.
Well, no, he's going to try to do something to Sting. Or, I think they're going to tease it. And then he's going to end up hitting the Bucks.
I think they're going to tease it.
Yeah, they could. I mean, and then the Bucks might turn on him anyways after. So, you know, he's basically a man without a home, and then Sting makes a save for him because he's Sting. Like, I don't know. You might be right. It might be like a
something. Double I don't know, but yeah, he wants a Greensboro pop, and so he's gonna. I don't know how he's pitching it, whether he's gonna be heel or face, but he's gonna get it. So
by the end of this, night, I'm 100% convinced that there's no way Sting is losing that match. I had never thought he would, anyways, but I figured he probably wanted to. But there's no way. I guarantee you that if you're betting on this match, you're a degenerate. But bet on Sting. All in.
Don't bet on pro wrestling.
Well, just
don't.
All right. So we go back to the ring, and there's a lot of stuff on this show that I think, like, whatever Tony was talking about in that tweet before the show, I think they just threw this together because they didn't have anything else. And like, even that thing at the beginning, like with the FTR match that goes 20 minutes and then the brawl afterwards and all that, like, I think that was like, frick, we got to kill 35 minutes here. Let's just throw these guys out there and have a match in the best brawl in the history of wrestling. And, you know, that'll do that. And I think that's what happened. So here we get Tony Schiavone, and he introduces Daniel Garcia. They didn't mention this. I mean, not that you would. You're not going to, you know, advertise. Yeah, we're going to hear from Daniel Garcia. But they should have, based on what they got, because, man, this segment was, I thought, was great. I don't know what you thought, but Excalibur pointed out in here that JR is out having surgery. Best wishes to him. I know. I think he said the goal is that he's back for Sting's last match. So we'll see if that happens. Tony Schiavone mentioned the match with Copeland last week, mentions that they're the top two contenders for the TNT championship. So rankings are out the window because Daniel Garcia is not ranked and he didn't beat Copeland. So whatever, that's fine. Copeland is on the shelf. The crowd boos that. So he says, coming up at Revolution, this man will get his TNT title shot at Revolution. So I was told when they brought the rankings back, we're done with having randos get title shots, but nope, that's not happening either. Fans start chanting Garcia, Garcia. So great. You deserve a chance. So he gets a mic and he says, a lot of time I didn't feel like I deserve it. So thanks for saying that. I felt I was always destined for great things. People told me I was going to be great. When I was at my lowest point, I lost my confidence in that feeling. But I know that going through all that, 3 seconds was all I needed. And at the end of the Continental Classic, I got those 3 seconds. Those 3 seconds changed my life. Every single time I got down, you all picked me back up. Every time I danced, you danced with me. I can't thank each and every one of you enough for helping me restore that feeling. Adam Copeland, no one knows how that match would have ended, but if it had gone on any longer, I'd have made you tap out. It's not over between you and me, but the next time I see you, I will be holding the TNT title. And that brings me to Revolution. Christian Cage, I got a message for you. When you step in the ring with me, and then it cuts off in Christian's music. Played, he cut a hell of a babyface promo here.
Really liked his delivery.
His delivery was amazing. It was the words, great. Whatever.
But the one when I danced, you danced with him. Oh, Jesus.
Whatever.
I get it. But I thought this was gonna rebrand him as like badass Daniel Garcia.
Well, that's coming. That's coming.
This is his best promo. This was his best promo of his life, I think.
By miles. I mean, I did not think he was capable of this. Like,
let's just give Peppermint all the credit for all these great promos, and then we'll see what
happens. She wrote it, she delivered it.
We'll get into another promo later, which was probably the best of that person's career. So yeah, I mean, something happened this week where something was in the water. And everybody just came out with guns blazing.
Oh, I know who you're talking about. Okay.
Yeah.
You know, the one I don't have notes for. So Christian interrupts and he says, Adam Copeland will not have another chance at my TNT title ever again. Do you understand me? So Tulsa, sit down while I conduct my business. I love that line. Daniel, what happened to you last week was just a byproduct of being in there with Adam Copeland. But no, you stand there as the number one contender for my TNT championship. It makes my head spin every time they say this. You've been on a hell of a run racking up wins, and as much as I'd like to step in the ring with you, I don't think it should happen at Revolution. Crowd booed that, which I thought is amazing, because normally when you tell them a match is happening, like, you know, at a different show, like, people sometimes boo that, but they actually want Daniel Garcia to get his title shot at Revolution. So He says, it's not that I don't think you're worthy. I don't think you're ready. You're easily distracted. Don't get me wrong. I like your dance moves, but they're just distractions. You want to make these people smile. You want to entertain them. I just want to leave the arena every night as the most dominant TNT champion of all time. But we both know why you're the way you are, Daniel. I know something these people don't know. The fans start chanting, you suck, because they know exactly what's coming. And he says, you got a pretty dark childhood, don't you, Daniel? And they keep focusing on Daniel. He's getting like, he knows this is going, and he's not happy. He says, you didn't have many happy memories, did you? Do you know Jackie Garcia from 2 Baker Court in Buffalo, New York?
What?
She was married to David Garcia, wasn't she? David Garcia is your father. And your father is dead. Oh my God. Garcia is like just fuming. And he says, wouldn't it be a beautiful fairy tale ending for you to win by our match and raise that belt over your head in memory of your father? Well, your father was a piece of crap and a loser alcoholic who lost his life to the bottle. Unlike him, I don't want to hurt you. I want to help you. I want to raise your full potential. At Revolution, I don't want to be your opponent. I want to be your father. And I have to note that while this whole promo is going on, Nick Wayne is behind him and he's smiling. Mugging constantly.
Yes, he is.
He's opening his shirt. I am your father, or you're my father. And like, he was great in this. He added so much to the segment. Shayna was just there, you know, whatever, Mother Wayne. But
with the turtleneck that continues to look like it gets bigger every week.
Yeah. Well, it's not the only thing that gets bigger. Christian Cage, Daniel Garcia says, if you ever open your mouth about my beautiful mother again, how about you come down to this ring and I'll put you in the ground right now. So Christian nods to Nick Wayne and he sends him down to the ring. And of course he gets like put in a sharpshooter right away. And then Christian sends Killswitch down and Killswitch can't even get in the ring. He's like,
kind of trips over himself a little bit.
Yeah. But I think they're just biding time because Matt Menard showed up out of nowhere with a chair, laid out Killswitch, passes a chair over to Garcia, and they both got chairs and they're holding off the patriarchy. And so, yeah, we got a title match for Revolution, Christian against Daniel Garcia. So I guess Edge is, I guess they're probably going to do that match at Double or Nothing. I don't know. Or he's going to show up. Like we talked about that last week, eh? He might just show up and, you know, cost Garcia the match, perhaps.
Yeah, if they're gonna put Copeland with Christian, they could always blame Garcia for Copeland taking the concerto.
Yeah,
I just thought of something weird though. Instead of Copeland turning, what if Menard turns on Garcia, and Daddy Magic becomes part of the patriarchy?
Oh. Well, yeah, I mean, the other thing, I mean, Garcia could end up joining the patriarchy. That's true too.
I don't think so though. I think they got.
I think what's going to happen is Copeland is going to cost Christian the title or Garcia the title, but not like, like churning. No, yeah. Like he's gonna attack Christian. Like yeah. You know, and that's you know they're eventually going to get together, but I think they got one more match in them at least.
Yeah.
So yeah. Jason reminds me, they announced an overrun. They weren't looking to kill time. No, they were. I don't know what's going on with these overruns, but I have a feeling that like maybe TNT is asking for them. I'm not positive of that, but.
I think it's the other way. I think Tony's asking for them and they're giving it to him. Because
even though he's got no material? Like,
yeah, because okay. What happens is everybody's tuning in for the show afterwards and he gets that crowd too, and it's part of the ratings. That's what they were doing with it's what they did on Raw or not Raw.
Oh yeah,
it was Nitro. They used to do that all the time.
Yeah. So well, NXT does it,
so. And that way they can also then boost how great of a ratings this new stupid Petrick show has gotten on TBS because that's a new show that's produced by David Letterman and it's kind of a Tiffany property for them right now.
Ah, and Dynamite can take some of the credit for it.
Yes.
All right. We go back again to Remarkable Renee. She's with RVD, Hangman, and Hook. And Hangman is just pissed off. She asked him about the world title match at Revolution. And he said, well, tonight's opportunity for all of us. Opportunity for Hook to avenge your loss to Joe. And opportunity for RVD to avenge losing to Swerve in a hardcore match. He's yelling at both of them. And he said, remember, our goal tonight is to hurt Swerve Strickland. And then RVD is like, yeah, let's hurt him. And he like fist bumps Hook. And Hook's like, yeah, whatever. And yeah, it was just I mean, it was just basically a promo to set up the fact that Hangman wasn't going to be on the same page as his partners. It was fine. Hangman is full, like the beard's gone. He's just got the mustache now.
He's just rocking the stash.
Yeah. And yeah, Magnum Page is what we can call him. Next we got, they had advertised Tony Storm. Well, earlier it was Tony Storm and Deonna Purrazzo are both going to be in action. But then during the show, they told us Deonna's opponent, Madison Rain. But in this, Tony's opponent was Sydney Winnell. And Sydney Winnell looks like a grown-up Billy Starks. That's the best way I can describe her. Like, I don't really know of any way. And amazingly, she got some offense in. She was running wild on Tony early, but then Tony reversed it with a Thez press. She knocked her into the corner. She hit a bulldog. They went to black and white and Tony pose, and that allowed the jobber to get a little bit more. She hit a jawbuster, and then Tony quickly turned around. She hit her
local talent. She's from the area.
Yeah. Yeah. Sydney Winnell. She did her Sweet Cheeks music and she hit the Storm Zero in the middle. Then she went for the ankle lock, but the jobber looked like she wanted to tap, but then Tony instead switched over to a Venus de Milo and she verbally tapped and the match was over. So that was
she flapped the hand in the back there so that she could tap out. But Okay.
I thought she verbally tapped, but that's fine. So yeah, that was it. She just used Deonna's finisher on her.
Yes.
Yeah. And then while she's celebrating, it's funny because they did two women's matches and they advertised two women's matches, but they put them both in the same segment. So whatever, you can't have it all. So during Tony's celebration, Deonna's music played and she was not happy about that. We got Deonna Purrazzo and Madison Rain and the fans, we'll have to ask Kevin, but I have a feeling that, him and, the rest of the 2,100 people in the building decided to go for
it's time to get snacks
during this match. Yeah. So, and they went a while. I mean, it wasn't super long, probably like 6 minutes or something, but they went through a commercial. They were dressed like partners. Did you notice that? Like they looked like partners. Yeah. It was not exactly.
The story that they were telling during commentary, if you remember, is that Rain trained Purrazzo or was her partner or something like that at one time. I forget what it was. Mentor.
She did a hell of a job because Deonna is a lot better than she is.
Yes. Hey, but look, that happens with some teachers.
True. True. Yeah. Daniel Bryan and The Miz.
you're so on it tonight, aren't you?
Okay. During this match, they gave the lineup for Rampage. So get this. I don't know if you caught it.
I did not.
Okay, so I will preface this by saying this is every episode of Rampage that's ever happened.
Well, let's see. Are the best friends on it?
No.
Okay, so then it's not every episode of Rampage. So,
we got Mariah May against Anna Jay. So Anna Jay, she lost to our friend the Queen Almanado. She's losing again this week.
That Queen Almanada Anna Jay match wasn't bad.
A good match. That was a good match.
Yeah.
Queen finally got a win and she's all elite. So we won't be seeing her again anytime soon.
Nope. Now go to Ring of Honor. There you go.
Yeah. The Jacksons will be in action. Of course, Matthew and Nicholas. We will hear from Sammy Guevara after his, what did they call it? His dream match over Jeff Hardy. Their words, not mine. Roderick Strong
wasn't so much of a dream for Jeff Hardy, but that's okay.
Not really. He's got some answering to do. Roderick Strong against Jake Hager, we had mentioned earlier. A trios three-way. Private Party and Matt Sydal. All right. Against that's Penta. Rampage. Yeah. Penta, Commander, and Brian Keith. That's Rampage.
What?
And Andretti what? And Top Flight.
Oh, Penta,
yeah,
Commander,
and Black Commander,
because Commander's the new Phoenix until Phoenix comes back.
Yes,
and Brian Keith,
yes, Black Commander.
Well, you know, Brian Keith could be hiding south of the border because a bounty went wrong and he teams up with a couple of okay, never mind. Who's the third team again?
You got the pesos, I got the pistols.
No. Let's not turn this into a musical. What's all the right. Third team?
Action Andretti in Top Flight.
Oh, good God. That's Rampage. That's the most rampagey rampage of
that's
rampages.
Exactly what I tweeted. The most rampagiest rampage that there's ever been.
Yes.
Yeah. So back to the match. Rain landed funny. Ref thought she was out. Deanna put on the ankle lock for the win. 2.25 stars.
Yeah. This and then Toni Storm gets a beat down on her, which is slightly strange given that Toni Storm's, there's no way in hell Toni Storm is losing that match.
No, because they're saving that belt for Mercedes. So she comes out for the post-match attack. She throws a shoe into the ring. Deanna fought her off, but then Mariah May distracted, and that allowed Toni to get the ankle lock on. And I guess she calls it the break a leg. Obviously, you know.
Wait, are you saying that Mercedes isn't taking the Julia Hart title and we're going to just bypass Mariah May's fantastic rise to women's Mariah championship?
Mariah May is done. I'm sorry to break it to you.
She hasn't even done anything. That's the thing.
I know, but she's done. So the ref's trying to get Luther to break it up for some reason. So Tony's got this ankle lock on forever. And remember earlier in the match, earlier in the night when the BCC and FTR were
brawling? Yeah, we had security and everybody coming all the way down.
They don't
care.
Nobody. They don't care about this.
Nobody.
No, well, not a single person. The ref, though, was trying to get Luther to break it up. Like, Luther, her body man or whatever the hell he is, Butler? Yeah. He's trying to get him to break it up, but
manservant.
He won't. He's like, no, I'm not breaking it up. And then eventually she just finally gives it up. And then she's
this
in the corner.
Baffling to me though. I mean, I'm still, Jason kind of gets to it too. It's like, why are we making Deanna look this weak going into a match based on a feud where she has looked weak almost every week?
They did the same thing with Abaddon and Julia Hart.
It's malpractice is what it is. Yeah. I mean, Deanna's going to be ROH bound.
She's set up to fail is what she is. She might even be in that.
Now that Tony's listening to this, might make her win and just to screw everybody up and go, wait, what?
Well, I told you. Yeah. So then after she finally decides to give up the ankle lock, she goes over into the ropes. And she starts smearing lipstick all over her face. I have no idea why. Can you explain?
So she's crazy.
Okay, that's the only explanation I had, but I didn't think it was much of an explanation. And then Deanna was like almost crying, and I don't know if she's selling or if her foot was really hurt.
Yeah, she is. She's trying to take off her boot because it's swelling, which is a mistake. You're not supposed to do that when something swells. You're supposed to keep it on for a while otherwise it'll blow up like a balloon.
So you figured she was just selling? So I mean, if she was just selling, that was good because I was actually concerned for her. So that's good work by her.
I think it was selling the ankle lock.
So I'd heard all they put up graphics all night. We will hear from Sting and Darby. We will hear from Sting and Darby. So I'm like, great. You know what? Kevin
gets to hear Sting live. I saw that. I don't think that means what you think it means.
Because I was behind on the show, so I thought, he's gonna come out like Daniel Garcia did and kind
of promo. Kevin's really mad at you because of this, by the way.
Yeah, sorry, Kevin. It was a tape promo.
It was a great tape promo, though.
Oh, it was, but I mean, and we probably honestly found out why he's not there and why he wasn't there last week.
Yes,
Darby says, when you're close to the end, you look back at your life, the fame, the spotlight, the material objects we coveted. Well, we've been looking at old photos, and Sting, can I show these old photos? And I guess Sting told him he could. So he shows the camera a photo of Sting and his sons, Garrett and Steven. And this looks like it's God, like what, 1990? Like, I don't know how old those kids are, but they're very young. And he says,
it looked like an indie show. I mean, this was during
TNA.
This was Wolfpack Sting.
Oh, okay. So like 96
and the hair. And he was with one of those grandmothers that loves pro wrestling.
These kids are like, you know, probably six,
maybe
eight.
His mom. It might have been his mom with his grandma there. So,
So he says, Sting's children here, Garrett and Steven, they're about the same age as your kids are right now. And this is this man's flesh and blood. And the only thing that matters to him is family. And then onto the screen comes Sting. And he says, you hit the nail on the head, Darby. Family is all that matters. It struck a nerve with me. All my years in professional wrestling, no one has ever messed with my flesh and blood till you, Bucks. the way he said Bucks.
Yeah.
Lots going on in my personal life. This, the Bucks. And only 7 days ago, another family member of mine, my father, passed away. Christians, like alarm bells.
Yeah, that was a joke I made too. Yeah. Like, you remember the original thought of having Sting face Christian at yep. Greensboro?
Yeah.
Oh, I was thinking about that.
If Sting's dad had died a month ago, they would have changed this.
Yeah.
He said, back to the, he says, he was like a hero to me. He taught me right. He makes me think a lot about my own mortality. I used to think I was so invincible. Sometimes I still feel that way. Time catches up with everyone. Cut with me for sure. I know that truly I'm not invincible. One thing I do know, everything that I have left in me, I'm bringing to Revolution. It's going to meet you face to face. You Bucks. You have a fight on your hands. The fight of your life. You can't have scene ends. Freaking beautiful.
This might have been Sting's best promo ever, too.
Oh.
I got to be honest with you. I've watched a lot of Sting promos. The TNA ones were entertaining. Main Event Mafia Sting was kind of awesome. Surfer Sting never had a great promo necessarily. Reflective old gunfighter Sting.
This was like John Wayne or
Shane. John Wayne in the shoot. This is John Wayne in the Shootist.
Yes.
Where
yes,
he's the dying gunfighter and he's like, he's like giving his final words and stuff like that. Yeah, I
Rocky Balboa and like, you know, the last Rocky, you know, like
this is the Wild Bunch going into their final doom type of a thing. I really, really
and the way I like said it, like I mean the crowd, like I was wondering if they even had the crowd volume on. But then they reacted at the end. So this crowd was silent through this whole promo because they were hanging on every single word he said.
I was watching his eyes because his eyes were meeting everybody. I mean, this is one of those promos directly in the camera. Again, you're connecting with your audience. It connected with me.
But immediately, but I was also talking directly to the Bucks.
Yeah, I was thinking personal. What's going on in his personal? Is he getting divorced? Is his wife leaving?
Me too. Yeah.
Because I hadn't heard anything about his father passing away. I was just like, oh.
No, and I mean, Sting's, you know, Sting's 62. His dad's probably like 90.
And he wasn't camping up the anger or the emotion either. He was just being, this is what's going to happen.
Yeah.
You are going to feel pain.
You boys done stepped in it.
Yes.
Yeah.
You effed around. Now you're going to find out. Yeah.
Yeah. You played the band. Now you got to pay the piper, you know, whatever the old sayings are. Every one of them applies.
Yes.
And it was when he was done, like, they can't, like, he has to win. He can't lose. I don't know.
Unless it's a catastrophic event in which they've decided Darby is going to be a heel now. He can't lose. But if Darby's going to be a heel, if he turns on Sting in Greensboro, he's going to be the hottest heel in this damn company.
Oh, what, Darby?
Yes.
Oh my God! No! Darby's got to be the new Sting.
I'm laying that out there. Okay.
Okay.
But it was also weird that Darby's kind of talking like he's at the end of his career too.
I think he is. Like
not by choice.
Well, I mean, he's going to climb Mount Everest. Put it this way, I would put the over under on Darby Allin matches after Revolution. I mean, definitely under 50. Maybe under 20.
Yeah, I know. But, like, but I mean, he was talking the same way Sting, as if he had been in the business for like 40
years. Yeah, that's true. That's true. Yeah. Because he's like the end of your road. And, you know,
like,
you
look back, how are you? 25?
Yeah. Jason points out he guesses this is why Darby cut the political promo, but it would have been easier. Well, yeah, it would have been easier not cut the promo. You know what would have been easier? Did you watch
Rampage? He's going to kill him just for Darby to say, look, you made me bleed all over you. I'm going to kill you next week. That's all he had to say last week.
Well, yeah. But did you watch Rampage?
No.
Okay. They aired a video package and a tape promo from Darby. That was everything he should have said in last week's promo.
Oh, damn. Except
Rampage had a third of the audience. You know, it was on Friday afternoon during before the All-Star game. It was perfect. They had to do was air that promo last week instead of what they actually aired.
Worth seeking out? good or just
not really? Good. I mean, it's okay. Exactly what you would expect. All right. But I mean, it was exactly, I mean, it was almost word for word what you just said.
All right.
Yeah. You're walking around with, I mean, this is the promo. This is, if I'm scripting Darby, you jackasses are walking around with my blood on those pretty white suits. Well, on March 3rd in Greensboro, that's going to be your blood. And
that's good. That's a good line.
You think that you're getting these your hands on these belts, I will die before I let you get your hands on these belts. And you know that's what I'll do. And then you wear a video package of Darby flying all over the place.
Yeah. That's fantastic. Yes, that's everything I've ever wanted. Go ahead.
It is on AEW social media. So you can watch. It's like 3 minutes long.
Yeah.
All right. So this is where my notes went away.
Things to do.
Yeah. This is where my notes went away. So next we got Tony Schiavone again in the ring with something else that I'm sure was they did at the last minute because they had to fill holes in the show, and it was freaking great. Tony Schiavone introduced Wardlow, and he comes out, he's pissed off.
He's walking well.
That's
the thing I was looking at. I was trying to say, you know, is his
no leg brace, no nothing.
Didn't see a brace under his pants or anything. No.
So he comes out there, he threatens Tony Schiavone, Tony leaves. He said, 2 years ago, thousands of people were chanting my name in a manner that hasn't been seen in decades. And the rocket was strapped to my back, but it was put on upside down. And I've been screwed time and time again. And you'd think that the one homegrown megastar would have been champion a long time ago, but I've never received a title shot. Something these people in the back should be thrown in jail and arrested for. It's like, maybe not the time to be talking about that. But he brought up the best in the world and the real world champion. So I don't know. Did he have a match with Punk that I'm forgetting about? Because he was talking about Punk a lot and talking about MJF. But he's not going to be facing either of those. Then he says, finally, there's Samoa Joe. And I choked you out. And I took that TNT title from you last week. And those suits and shiny titles will look better on me than you. I'm the uncrowned world champion. And I'm the king of AEW. And it's about time I started eating like one. And if anyone wants to get in my way, this is no longer wrestling. This is war. And that was that. And I'm like wondering, okay, that was all great, fine and dandy, but what the hell are they building to? And then Excalibur mentioned he's going to be in something. I think this is the exact words. He's going to be in something called Meat Mayhem. Is that the name?
Yes, I think so.
Okay. Meat Mayhem, which I didn't know, like the way he described it, I thought it was just going to be like a match, like with Wardlow and like maybe a mystery opponent or something. But no. And then because then later someone else was talking about, Callis said that Hobbs is going to be a Meat Mayhem. So I think it's just going to be a bunch of meaty men slapping meat.
It is. It's a Hoss match. It's a Hoss battle royal, I believe.
Is that what it is? Okay.
I think so.
I'm here for that. In fact, I think I tweeted that exact word out. I'm here for Meat Mayhem. That should be fun. Who do you think we get in there? Miro, right? If he's available.
Yeah, hold on. I was looking something up and
Oh, it's Meat Madness. I'm sorry. Punk and
Wardlow had a match in December of 2022 on Dynamite.
Oh, okay. Did Punk win?
Yes.
Okay.
But not before Wardlow beat the crap out of him.
You know what? I remember that.
You'll have maybe Rusev or whatever is being called now.
Miro.
Yeah.
Jake Hager.
The Butcher, Jake Blade Hager. Too. Maybe Takeshita, maybe? I don't know.
No,
they would have said
Ospreay.
That in there.
No, Takeshita's facing Ospreay. But Hobbs is in it. They said
Hobbs is in it.
JD Drake.
JD Drake, Bear Country.
They're
called now, Iron Savages. Yeah.
Yeah. Boulder and Bronson.
Sotnum could be in it.
Yeah. Sotnum. Maybe they get one guy. You know who's going to freaking win this thing? Very meaty, very evil.
Yeah, put Danhausen in this thing.
No, I mean, Wardlow's got to win it, I think.
I mean, you'd always put a small guy with a scale on there. I think Ishii could be in this thing. That'd be fun.
Ishii, yeah. I mean, it's, you know, hopefully they bring in a few people. Who's that guy? Hechicero?
Nick Camarado could be in this.
Oh yeah, he's been out of the witness protection program.
Pretty much.
There's a few others that we're probably forgetting, but they got some meaty men. Billy Gunn.
No.
Okay. maybe this is where Sheamus debuts. That'd be fun. I don't think he's free yet. No,
he's not free. No, so yeah. Let's not do that. I'm trying to think of big dudes on, like they can get a bunch of Southern indie wrestlers if they want.
Is there any of the cuts? Like Elias? You know, Elias would be a freaking monster in that company.
Probably. Yeah, he would.
Yeah, he could bring him in.
He would be.
Steve Macklin.
Macklin won't be a free agent yet.
Oh, I thought he was. I thought his contract was up.
It's coming up.
Oh, okay. Okay.
I believe.
Forbidden Door.
Jeff Cobb could always show up.
Jeff Cobb, yeah, that'd be fun. Yeah, so we'll have a fun match. I'll be looking forward to this one. All right,
Black Taurus.
Oh yeah. Well, you know what? He'd be tiny, I think, compared to the rest of those guys in there.
He's a meaty guy for a luchador. That's true.
True. Yeah, Hechiceros.
Hikaleo.
Hikaleo. Yeah.
Bring in Ming.
Oh God. That'd be fun. Hacksaw.
The Barbarian.
Oh, okay. Now we're getting.
Go back and watch 1989 Great American Bash. That is a meat match right there. That double battle royal they have. That's like Dr. Death, Ron Simmons, Dan Spivey, Sid Vicious, Mike Rotunda. You know, that's a meat match right there. This is it's slightly Arby. It's Arby's adjacent in terms of having the meat.
Yeah. Exactly. All right. We get another promo that was, I have no idea why it was on the show. Bang Bang Scissor Gang.
Hold on. I haven't talked about this Wardlow promo. Hold on. You're right.
Okay. Sorry. Was this the other guy you were referring to?
Yes. This is promo? Wardlow's promo of his career. And we're just going to talk about this stupid meat match. Let's get.
Well, the only thing I didn't like was that he was talking about people from another company.
But, no, the only thing I didn't like was he was talking about office politics and people in the back not giving him a title shot and stuff. I'm like, no, screw that. The stuff when he's talking about destroying everybody who was a former world champion was great.
Okay.
And alluding
to them. Yeah. Like the MGF, yeah. But I don't know why you need to mention Punk.
Because he's in the other company and screw him. We're better. Everybody's been doing this for years. When guys would jump, they'd show him. When Vader jumped, WCW put out video packages of him getting destroyed by various wrestlers in WCW. I am fine with the petty. I am on this one.
All right.
Because it's getting Wardlow over by saying, I've destroyed every champ out of the last three or four champions you've had in this company, and I haven't gotten a world title shot. So I'm fine with that.
I mean, yeah, that makes sense. And I mean, it's a question that everyone has. I mean, why isn't he ranked? But that's another issue. Right. Wardlow turned on MJF in the Punk MJF chain match and won the TNT belt when Punk got hurt. Yeah. And then I think he lost it to Joe. And then Joe won it back or something.
And then they had that stupid cutting the ponytail crap.
Oh God, yeah. Yeah.
Oh. They've been so mismanaged. I mean, look, and I get that, like he's saying everything that's correct, although
I don't know if they need to be arrested.
I don't think you need to be saying I'm a homegrown talent, et cetera, et cetera. Nobody cares about that. Just kick people's ass. That's all that matters about that. But true. You know, it's one of those things where, I mean, like when he was white hot to be turned and then they didn't turn him in Cleveland that one time, that was, and then they tried to find another way around it. Then he was ice cold. I mean, yeah.
Oh, that actually, this was a good line because he mentioned that he broke Punk and
alluding to. Yeah.
Yeah. And I mean, in that, yeah, Punk's, you know, he did one match in WWE and he got,
that was injured. A reference to Best in the World. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, that was the other thing is they didn't actually say who he was talking about. So, I mean, I would think most people are going to know.
But most of us can put two and two together.
True. This promo from the Bang Bang Scissor Gang, I don't know that we need to. Or
it sucked. Meltzer, let's move on.
Dave Meltzer calls it the Bang Bang Scissors Gang. That's a lot. He said that like four times. So they're basically, they're setting up a match, I think, on Collision.
Basically, Jay White's upset that Gunn brothers want to team with their dad.
Right. So he decides to break them up. So it's going to be Austin, Daddy Ass, and himself as the Collision Cowboys this Saturday in six-man action. So Anthony Bowen says it doesn't matter the combo. Everyone loves the Acclaim, bang, bang. And
boy, the Acclaim, ever since having that one great match.
They are cold.
Yes.
They are cold. And Caster tweeted.
Because they're not good as baby faces. I'm going to tell you that right
on,
now.
On
much
Rampage,
better heels.
On Rampage, I guess during the tapings, he cut a promo where he mentioned NDAs, and they edited it off the show, and he wasn't happy about that.
Yes.
All right. Renee Paquette backstage with the Don Callis family asked Callis if he's given any more thoughts on the match between Will Ospreay and Konosuke Takeshita. He says, it's going to help us big time. Win or lose, the best wrestlers in the world will still be part of the family. And you'll notice that Will Ospreay did his farewell match in the UK, and Tony Khan didn't bring him back to the United States because he's waiting. I'm going to send the Callis family jet, and I'm going to bring him back to the States for Revolution. And he says, Sammy Guevara, you cuck. He says, Will Hobbs is going to have some words for you on Rampage, and then he's going to enter this meat madness. Yeah, that was that. So the way he said cuck was something else.
Yeah.
I mean, I thought he was going to say the other C word the way he said it. I think that was the point.
But, no, I mean, look, Callis is still great. It's just
he's so delusional though, because Will's like
he does the edgy stuff to be edgy, and it's like, it's fine. I like Callis, the Callis family jet, which made me laugh in many ways.
Yeah, but it is. I mean, it is kind of funny because I'm sure Ospreay didn't come back, because they did mention that Ospreay is going to be on Dynamite next week. So I guess Callis is going there, going to England to get him. Or it'd be funny if Callis was in England on Wednesday and Ospreay's already here. You know, and they go to like
satellite. I went to pick you up. Where were you?
And yeah. Then
turns on him. Yeah.
Yeah, that could be good. All right. Where are we here? Sorry. Because I didn't have my notes. I'm faking it very well. Main event. Oh.
By the way, we got a message. I actually confirmed. Kevin told us that Hangman.
Yep.
Looked good at first, and then was kind of cussing to himself, limping to the back. And friend of the Jeff, Sean Ross Sapp, says, yeah, it looks that way. It looks like he got injured in this match.
So it could be problems for Revolution.
I guess could be a one-on-one.
Well,
which is fine.
Yeah, I'm totally fine with that. Although that's the thing.
Might ruin the plan, but yeah.
Yeah, because I don't think they want to pin Swerve right now, and I don't think they want to take the belt off Joe. So Hangman was kind of a good place.
Who's ranked number three?
Copeland. He's injured.
Okay, there you go. We can pin Copeland in Greensboro.
Yeah, except he's injured. All right. So they, as I mentioned earlier, I think I mentioned this earlier, they went through two commercial
breaks. One last match for Sting, and he enters himself in the heavyweight title and wins with the title.
Yeah, I could do that. I've put RVD in there.
No, God, no.
So, yeah, speaking of which, it was Samoa Joe, Swerve Strickland, and Brian Cage against Hangman Page, Hook, and RVD.
Uh-huh.
And I spent way too long before Dynamite even started arguing with people on X about how this match totally makes sense, and I'm not paying attention to the show and all this stuff. And it's like, okay, I understand that these people all have loose alliances, but I also understand that there's no need to have Rob Van Dam involved in your world title angle. I'm sorry. There is no convincing, and it's not that I'm not paying attention, and it's not that I don't know what's going on. It's that I don't think Rob Van Dam belongs in the world title angle. But that's besides the point. And I don't see why Samoa Joe and Swerve Strickland are teaming. And I was told, oh, well, Joe and Rob Van
Dam. Did you get a lot of the, it was because of the pick your poison type of thing?
Yeah, and Samoa Joe has history with Rob Van Dam going back to TNA.
That stuff's BS.
Oh, yeah, and Hook and RVD, they're an established tag team, and Hangman has referenced RVD in his promos, and he picked him in the Pick Your Poison match. And
I didn't think sense until I saw Rob Van Dam get beat, and it's like, okay, now.
And where was Bishop Khan then? You know, why wasn't he in this match instead of Brian Cage?
That's true. That's actually a good point, now that I think about it.
Yeah. So anyways, they had a match. I mean, it was It was fine.
I thought this match was fun. It was good.
I mean, they went through two breaks. It was.
I like that they weren't doing constant. Okay, Swerve and Joe can't get along. No.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah,
I thought for certain Hangman and Joe were going to walk out on their teams. I did. I thought
positive Hangman was going to walk out of his
team. Yeah, this match was fun. Ball had some fun about
RVD. Like worked you most crank. Of it. From what I can tell.
He did.
Did all his moves. He actually looked good.
Tony Khan loves him from Rob Van Dam.
Oh, yeah. I mean, he grew up on ECW. So he got to shine, you know, and they did a lot of spots. They eventually worked to this spot where, like, all three of them were in the ring at the same time. And they squared off. And then, you know, I don't even remember what happened. And like I said, I don't have my notes. So, they did... did a Tower of Doom spot. Hook hit the Red Room on Cage, made a blind tag to Joe. Hook ate a pop-up power bomb. Page flew in with a buckshot on Cage. Oh, yeah, and this is where Joe Strickland and Page were left alone in the ring. They showed the Revolution graphics. That was nice timing. Strickland and Joe took out Page. He rolled to the floor, and I guess, is that where he hurt himself? Or no, it was
later. No. It was when he reversed on the Muscle Buster.
Yeah.
He was up on the Muscle Buster, and he came down.
Yeah. Page... powerbomb Strickland off the apron through the announce table. Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's right. And then Joe ducked a buckshot back inside, hit a snap power slam for two. RVD took out Cage with a stinger splash, slingshot splash, made the tag. Joe waiting. Didn't see Hook, and he ate an exploder. RVD went up for the five-star. Cage shoved him off, wiped out Hook with a discus lariat. And then Joe sank on the Kikina clutch, and RVD faded and passed out. No arm bar. No, like, raising the arm three times for those of you keeping score. And Joe held up the AW title. Strickland looked on with Nana, and Page kept telling the cameraman not to shoot him, holding his ankle. And the writer here on the notes I'm reading said, hopefully Page isn't injured.
Yeah. It looks like he might be. He might have turned an ankle. I hope that's all it was.
They threw up a graphic during after the match. Quickly, Excalibur never even mentioned it, but Brian Danielson against Jun Akiyama on Collision.
Yeah, no, I think they announced that last week sometime.
No, it was on Twitter.
Yeah,
like, it's never been mentioned on TV.
Of course not.
But it'd be not that.
I was kind of hoping Cage would go in there and hope that all three of them could have their hands raised, but you knew Swerve and Joe weren't going to do that. But I found the whole
It was weird though. At the end, when
it was funny to me
when Joe had the clutch on RVD. It looked like Nana was like trying to get Swerve to like break it up or something. And Swerve was kind of looking on like he was pissed off. So I guess he's mad that Joe took the win.
Yes.
You know, like,
I think that's a story. Cage was kind of standing guard on the outside. I thought he was going to roll inside to stand guard for anybody who might jump in and try and break it up. But I also thought that might be why Nana was trying to get Swerve up, but I guess not. Gotcha. I think it was just to get him up after the, you know,
but he was, I would imagine Swerve was probably also distracted by Hangman. Like legit in real life kind of thing. Like,
well, yeah, but he was also selling the effects of the power bomb.
Yes. Yeah. That too. Yeah. But yeah, it was a good match. I mean, it was fine. It was, you know,
it was a good TV main event. I thought, you know, this is the kind of thing they do is they combine a couple of angles and put it in the show. It was good.
And it wasn't too convoluted, you know, like you said, not too much of the,
at the end, you got the expected, you know, Swerve nails Joe. So, now we're no longer friends.
Yeah. Well, and they never were.
Now we're no longer partners, you know.
So yeah.
Whatever.
Yeah. And that was that. That was Dynamite. We got one more week of this build. And I mean,
you see these things a lot in terms of this was the best Dynamite I've ever seen, et cetera. So this might be my favorite Dynamite of the last 52 weeks.
Really? Wow.
In terms of it had a nice mix of good wrestling and good non-wrestling, I thought. And that's what I want. I don't want all good wrestling. I want angle building. I want promos. I want things like that.
I really like the show 2 weeks ago with, you know, that Swerve Page opener and the Sting and Darby winning the tag titles at the end.
That was a great show, too. I'm not saying best show. I'm saying favorite.
Okay. Favorite. Yeah, that's fair. You know what? It's hard for me to say favorite, and it has nothing to do with AEW, but it has to do with my freaking laptop dying in the middle of it.
I'm trying to decide whether or not I like that opening tag match more than Takeshita and Darby.
Yeah, a lot of people go back to that Takeshita Darby match. I mean, personally, for me, it's Swerve and Page, but everyone's got their different favorites.
Yeah.
I preferred the 1 hour cage match on that New Japan show over Danielson and Zack Sabre, and 10 people in the observer poll agreed with me. So
see, I didn't like that match at all.
Oh really? Okay.
I thought it was a nice experiment. It was a brave experiment, but you can't do a Southern Blood match in New Japan because there's no crowd reaction to anything that happens in that match until.
Well, and the other thing is you don't watch it as closely as I do, so you might not have been as invested in the.
That's also very, very true. But I was also I was trying to be just invested in watching the match, and that was
fair enough. Yeah, and okay. if it's just about the match, like if this was just some random promotion and somebody said, "Oh, you got to watch this match," I would feel the same way as you. Like I would be like, well, I don't care who these people are.
I liked the visual of it and everything like that. Yeah. But let's just end the show because we're arguing about stuff that's not AEW.
Well, what I wanted to say though was we have I think 10, 11 days till Revolution.
Yeah.
And a lot of times the discourse around AEW is, oh, you know what, they don't
great on paper, but they haven't done any build. Yeah.
Well, that is not the case here.
That's not the case here. No, exactly. No, they've been building it. It's been very.
They've been building and building.
Best build of their career.
The last AEW. Yeah. The last two or three shows have been nothing but pay per view build.
Yeah.
And I imagine we're going to get another one next week.
And it's made me more excited for the pay per view, to be honest with you.
Yeah. And then we got, right after the pay per view, we got Big Business. We're going to have a new set.
Are we?
Did you not see that?
I did not.
Tony Khan tweeted out a poem.
Unlike Tony, I'm not on friggin' Twitter. Okay,
so I don't have it in front of me, but I'm gonna try to do this from memory. Roses are red. No, the dynamite set is red. The dynamite set is blue. Roses are red. Violets are blue. The dynamite set is two. And after Revolution. It won't be anymore. So, like, he just did the absolute worst poem that that would have been on the Granny Show. I got it.
So you're doing a new set, announcing I have a new look for Dynamite on TV, and then just move on with it. I don't have time for this crap.
I gotta find this poem for you.
Oh God, it Nipsey is... Russell, he ain't.
Oh, here we go. Okay, Tony Khan has a Valentine's Day poem. This got to be it.
Maybe you should get a date.
Oh, here we go. I got it. Roses are red, violets are blue. If you love wrestling, I appreciate you. It's a huge Wednesday, AEW Dynamite. No, that's not it. Oh, God. That must have been last year.
Can we just end this show?
No. Here we go. Wait. Oh, I'm sorry. I got to read this poem.
All right, fine.
Oh, here we go. AEW Dynamite is red. AEW Dynamite is blue. Until the Wednesday after AEW Revolution, when we'll have a brand new set for you. That's his poem. So, anyways, get your plugs in.
Follow me at Crap Game 13. This might be my last Dynamite show ever after going through that terrible bit. I do a show on Voices of Wrestling called Shake Them Ropes with Chris Novembrino this week. The Elimination Chamber preview. And hey, Chris has really enjoyed Raw. I liked Raw and SmackDown this week. Dynamite was pretty solid. We might be poly positives, which will be a new thing for us.
Raw had the fifth highest cage match rating of any show or pay-per-view in the last 3 years, and that's in all wrestling.
Yeah,
not just WWE. Yeah,
I also think the tribalists have figured out that people are going in there because people are paying attention to the AEW cage match rating because Tony loves it so much.
None of the other shows have been that good. It's just this one.
No, it was a very good show. So we'll be talking about that. That'll drop hopefully Friday before Elimination Chamber comes in. It just depends when you can record. And then, follow me for bad jokes, 80s references, other things on Elon Musk's X at Crap Game 13.
I don't have much to plug other than the fact that I co-hosted a show with our buddy Darren Dazzle Wadsworth, where he presented some his top theme, 15 theme songs from TV shows. So I put that up on my Facebook. You can check that out. And also tune into Rampage and find out about the date between Cool Hand Ange and Tattooed Betty Rubble. So for Jeff Hawkins, I've been Paul Fontaine, and this has been The Dynamite Show.
Barney Rubble.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.